Prayer is probably the biggest challenge we have as Christians, in which not only to pray, but to be faithful to prayer, to continue in prayer, and to continue to stay with it, whatever the situation, and always be ready in an attitude and heart to pray. And from time to time, we have teachings on prayer, and I trust that this will help us. And we're calling this teaching, "The Model of Our Praying Brings Us Closer to God." The model of our praying brings us closer to God. You see, everything that God provides and gives to us in this world, and what he asks of us, is always not only in the nature redemptive, but it's always to bring us into a closer walk and relationship with him. And one of the finest ways of coming into a closer relationship with God is prayer. When we pray, when we take prayer seriously, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into prayer, to be always in that attitude and ready to pray, all of which it brings us closer to the Lord. And by coming closer to the Lord, which prayer does, is it enables one to be able to pray more, to pray the prayer of faith, to know that when you seek God in prayer, your prayers have already been answered. So we can never lose, particularly with regard to prayer. Prayer is the means of helping us to overcome, helping us to escape those trials and temptations that the enemy tries to trap us in. It's such a defense. It places such a hedge of protection around one. And we're all learning with regard to prayer. Is it easy? No, not always. Sometimes it can be challenging. We know that we can be attacked very often by the enemy who tries to stop us to pray. Or we often find ourselves, when we start to get into prayer, suddenly you feel absolutely tired. You have a job to keep your eyes open. Or you find somebody comes at the door, or the phone rings, or there's some obstruction. All of these are good giveaways from the powers of darkness that we are doing the right thing before Almighty God. So that should, in effect, spur us on. Whatever we battle with, sometimes I get into prayer and I really battle a tiredness that just comes over you. And it's a job to keep awake. But I try and turn it positively, not only rebuking the enemy, but the enemy is attacking for a reason. And he often does when you get into prayer. So this is what we really want to talk about today. And we're calling this, as I've said, "The Model of Our Praying Brings Us Closer to God." Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 16 to 18 that you know very well. But here is something that encourages us with regard to prayer. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophesying. Test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from evil," and so on. All of this really in the context of prayer. So we know, and we've discussed this many times, praying without ceasing means to be always in that attitude ready to pray when required, when needed. And in our everyday walk with the Lord, there are many things that we see and we encounter or we hear that can require prayer. And maybe we can't always just get straight into prayer, but if we want to pray about that situation or something we saw or what somebody said, God will always provide a way in which to offer up prayer with regard to whatever it is you've encountered. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit will do that. Why? Because he regards prayer as vital. He has set prayer in the house of God. We know that his house is a house of prayer. That is what Jesus said when he was casting out the moneylenders and those corrupting the house of God. Then at that time, he revealed his anger because they were turning it into something corrupt when he said it is a place where you offer prayers, intercessions, supplications. Why are we stressing all of this? Because prayer changes things. We are here today listening to this teaching because someone or a group prayed for us. We are the result of prayer. And so that is why we never give up in our prayers, our intercessions, and especially for our loved ones and family, those who yet don't know Christ. So this is what he says, rejoice always. That is what we're to do. We're to be thankful, to praise God, to be appreciative. And he says, praying without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So our praying makes us grateful, thankful. We thank God for our prayers. We thank him that he's moved through us to pray. We thank him for the prayer that we prayed, waiting for its manifestation. It's on the way. In everything, give thanks. Is that what you do? Are you very quick at leaving God's presence when you've been in prayer? Don't do it. Give yourself time before you leave. Maybe it just requires thanking and praising him that he's heard you, that you spent that quality time before him. Just thank him, acknowledge him. It goes a long way with the Lord. And he says, don't quench the spirit. And of course, there's nothing like prayer, a prayer life, you won't quench the spirit. In other words, stop the Holy Spirit from speaking, leading, guiding, and moving, you see. Prayer makes you sensitive to the voice of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like prayer to make you sensitive in the presence of Almighty God. So little wonder why the enemy doesn't want us to pray and be in prayer. What does it say in Romans 12? Romans 12 and verse 12. Romans 12:12, which says this, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. So the apostle is encouraging the church here through its trials, through its testings, to continue steadfastly in prayer. Don't let your circumstances, what you are going through, stop you praying. Whatever you are going through, whatever the trial or testing is, continue steadfastly in prayer. You know, some Christians I know, when they go through a trial or whatever it is, or bad news, they just go completely in themselves and go away and hide from God. There's a lot do that. Maybe you do that. That is the last thing you should do. When a trial comes, or you hear bad news, or whatever it is, turn steadfastly to the Lord in prayer. Talk to him. Vital. Because you ignore, you go into silent mode, you turn away, and you are allowing the enemy in to buffet, to deceive. And there are a lot of Christians that still do this one. So he says, rejoicing in hope. There we are, because we're in faith. We're believing that our prayers are on the way, being answered, patient in tribulation. In other words, you will come out of the testing. You will come out of the trial. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever you are facing, whatever you're going through, whatever God is doing in your life, stay with it, be patient, and continue steadfastly in prayer. This is what he's saying. And if we can put that principle right, we won't get half and a quarter of the problems that a lot of Christians have. It's all part of putting first the kingdom of God is righteousness, and all these things will be added. What are you putting first? Your prayer life. You're in that attitude of prayer, ready to pray at any time. Even if the Lord gets you up at 4 a.m, which he does with me sometimes, my flesh hates it, but my spirit loves it. And I know if I don't do that, I will miss out on a real blessing. And indeed it is. Your flesh will never agree with a prayer life. So just accept that. It's like fire and water. But praise God, the cross that we have in our lives, that we take up daily and walk with the Lord, the cross will deal with those mindsets, will deal with the flesh that tries to stop us from putting God first in these things. This is how our Lord worked. This is how sometimes he prayed through the night. He yielded over to the Spirit. He didn't resist the Holy Spirit. He didn't make any excuses. Well, Father, I've got to have a good night's sleep tonight because you know I've got ministry tomorrow. There's a lot of needs. I've got to preach, and there's 5,000 have got to be fed, because that is what we do. We do that before the Lord. We come up with all these excuses. I've done it. But if God is requiring it of us, he's showing he never makes a mistake, and you're in for a blessing. You really are. So this is what we're talking about then. The model of our praying brings us closer to the Lord. You see, all believers should be in the attitude and place to pray. And this is where the baptism of the Holy Spirit is such a great help. Because you're able to pray in the spirit, in your mind, in your head, if you can't verbally say a prayer. There have been many times in a situation where I've just, in the spirit, in tongues, started praying in my head. Yes, my tongue is moving and pronouncing the syllables, but I'm not speaking them out. But I'm speaking in the spirit. In prayer, sometimes I've had to do that. That is the attitude of praying without ceasing. And the Holy Spirit makes this possible. You see, so many Christians don't know what to pray, or often their prayer is centered just around themselves. But you see, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe we're to pray for the government or leaders, or to pray for whatever it is. You can then go into the Spirit and let the Spirit start to pray through you, which is the perfect will of God. Sometimes the Lord has placed a burden on me to pray, and sometimes that just burden to pray stays for days, on and off, just praying in the Spirit, and then suddenly it lifts. It's done. Done what God wanted me to do. And then that's how he works. And we have to be very, very careful that our praying isn't vain repetition, like sadly so many pray. Vain repetition sadly goes no higher than the ceiling. And you will find on their lists, when they pray for people or pray for healing or whatever it is, sadly, a lot of them, they finally get off the prayer list when they die. That is not how we're to pray. That is vain repetition. I know I came out of the denomination, and that's how we prayed. We had our prayer lists, and we prayed the same old thing every time. So I do know what I'm talking about here with regard to prayer. But we're looking at our praying, which is bringing us closer to the Lord. And we can't really avoid, in talking about this, than coming to the Lord's Prayer. And turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 6. To Matthew 6. And we'll take it up from verse 5 of Matthew 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So immediately the Lord is showing that prayer is not demonstration. Prayer is not entertainment. It's not theatre. It's not robing up in which to pray like religious man does. But he goes on, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Openly isn't actually in the Greek. It means he will reward. So he says to go into your room, your closet, and it's between you and the Lord. It's intimate. It's personal. It is you talking, communicating, praying, supplicating by the Spirit before your Heavenly Father. It is not for the ears of anyone else except you and the Lord. That is what he's saying here. Now, if that isn't about bringing you closer to God and relationship, then I don't know what is. And then he goes on, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. So repetition then is a sign they are heathen. They don't know God. They are not born again Christians. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. You see, so God isn't interested in a lot of dialogue, in a lot of words. He's interested in the prayer of faith. He's interested in a sincere, pure and upright heart. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask him. Now, look at that in verse 8. How many of you are aware that that is there And that when you come into prayer before your Heavenly Father, before you even open your mouth, before you've even opened the door and entered in, he says, I already know. I know what you're going to say. I know the needs. I know what it is you require. I know what it is you're going to ask me in faith. Now, if that doesn't spur us on and give us encouragement and quicken our faith for prayer, then I don't know what does. There have been times when I have spoken to the Lord and I've said, Father, what I'm about to say to you now, you already know. I already have that assurance, but I talk this out with you. Why do I say that? Because I know what it says in verse 8, and I know that helps and quickens my faith so that the prayers are answered. And having then said that, he then goes on to the way we pray. And in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he's in heaven, you're on earth, and you glorify his name. You acknowledge it. You have a reverence, a godly fear for his presence. Your kingdom come. Note what it says, your kingdom, not the kingdom of self, what you want. It is God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And most of us pray, if it be thy will. He's not saying that there. He says, your will be done, not if it be thy will. And how do we know the will of God? We have the word of God that we study and read. And that is why we pray the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven, because your confession, your belief in the word of God is agreeing what is settled in heaven. When we read this word, this is what is settled in heaven. And he says he's bringing his kingdom upon this earth in which to rule and reign. And this is why I say so much. The doorway into the kingdom of heaven is set in the body of Christ. That is how we go through into the kingdom. And what is it we preach? The kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self, my ministry, which so much is what you hear today, completely wrong, because they have little understanding, experience of the kingdom of God. We have a lot of ministers behind pulpits who should never be there. They're not called of God. And they are not teaching the people what pertains to the kingdom of God. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So have you missed the mark this week? Did you have to go before God and repent and ask for forgiveness? Then he says, do likewise to others. We hold no grudge. We forgive them also, the same as God forgives us, all in how he's teaching us to pray. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, I believe that that will only happen when you get verse 12 right, when you forgive. You hold no resentment, no grudge, bitterness. That enables and helps you when temptations come, not to be led into them, but to find that way of escape. Deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? Satan. So we're saying in our prayer, Father, don't hand me over into his hands in your mercy and grace, but deliver me from him, which he will do. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. So again, he reminds us of his kingdom. And he says it's in power and in glory forever. Amen. So that is how he does it. It is done by the power of God that is in heaven. The power of God works on our behalf. We can do nothing without the power of God that's ministered to us through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You see. So there, look what's in the Lord's Prayer. And I've only just scratched on the surface to what is in that prayer. But that's what Jesus is teaching us. And he's teaching us with regard to prayer. Another thing that the Lord tells us with regard to prayer, Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So another reason why we get in prayer, we don't resist the Holy Spirit when he wants us to pray, is in order that we are watchful in prayer for the reason that we don't enter into temptations. In other words, we are deceived. Christians who become deceived, taken in by wrong teachers, heresy, this is the weakness with them. They haven't been much in prayer or watchful, because that is what it does. Many I've counseled over the years who no longer are with us, who've gone back into the world. I always ask them a question: what is your prayer life like? Not really very good. And invariably, that was always one of the major problems and why they didn't continue with us. That is it. They don't pray as they should. They're not watchful. So they've entered into temptations. They've opened the door and the enemy's got in and suggested his lies and all those things. And they think that they can go elsewhere, or they can join another ministry or another church and all will be better and it will go away. And it doesn't. It doesn't, because they're not fulfilling what the Lord is saying here. Not always easy. Sometimes this is just a discipline. As I said at the beginning, your flesh doesn't want to pray. Don't even try and get your flesh to agree with this. It will never agree with prayer. So don't even entertain it. But do what you know is right. Do what the Holy Spirit is yielding and working through you to do. Yield over to him. Let him do it by the power of his Spirit. Let him be your eyes, enabling you to watch. Let him be the intercessor, praying through you, so that you don't enter into these temptations. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there we are. We can all agree with this. Do you know, even the world outside who doesn't believe, those heathens, they even agree with this. You say to me, they do? Yes. Have you ever asked them, would you like me to pray for you? Most of them will agree and say yes. Isn't it interesting? They don't want the commitment to walk with the Lord, but they won't stop you praying for them. They'll be very grateful. Why? We've just read it there. It's what it says. It says that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It costs to pray. And because the Lord knows it costs to pray, this is where the great rewards lie. A saint who's going on with God, who is blessed, where you are seeing them walking by faith, the miraculous working through them. You are seeing the power of God. That is always a clear sign that saint prays, gets into prayer. It is a clear sign every time. It is the key to this walk. It's how you grow. It's how we're going to be preserved from the spirit of this age and not be deceived and taken in. It's where it brings us closer into relationship with God and makes us sensitive to his will and to the move of the Spirit. We cannot go wrong with praying. And that's why we exhorted you today. The model of our praying brings us closer to the Lord.